We're live to our Asia correspondent today, Ed White of the Financial Times in Seoul. Hello, Ed.
Good morning, Catherine.
Hong Kong's situation got worse again this week. A terrible clash between police and protesters, much of it broadcast to the world. You're left wondering where this is going, Ed, really, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, for people that haven't been following closely, this is, you know, this amazing international city and finance hub has now seen 5 months of increasingly violent protests. Remember that this all started from people protesting a controversial law that would have allowed for the extradition of citizens of Hong Kong into China. But these protesters' demands have since broadened much wider to their calling for investigations into alleged police brutality and for the city to have universal suffrage. And over the past 7 days or so, the situation just has significantly worsened. There's been a few kind of milestones. I mean, starting with last Friday, there was a death of a 22-year-old man, a student protester, who died 4 days after he fell from a city car park while police were removing protesters from the area. The circumstances of that remain unclear, but regardless of the details, this man's death is being seen as, by many in Hong Kong, as a sort of the first protester death as part of the movement, making situations on worse, making these situations much worse on Monday was a video emerging of a policeman shooting a protester with live ammunition. There's also been worsening violent acts by the protesters themselves, particularly targeting people thought to be associated with pro-China groups in the city. And one of the worst incidents I think we've seen so far, a man who had reportedly been arguing and fighting with the protesters was doused in some sort of flammable liquid and set on fire. And as you said, things are really boiled over with now what is really being described as a siege at the Chinese University of Hong Kong. It's up in Sha Tin and then sort of toward the north of the territory. And a student, big group of student protesters appeared to barricade themselves in and face off with police over a couple of days. Water cannons being fired, tear gas, rubber bullets, all the things that have now become very common in what was a scene that really went through the night and has resulted in a huge amount of destruction. And it looks like there has been some resolution there overnight. Just last night, students have agreed, I think, to push pause on the protests. But many commentators, many of whom have thought that mainstream Hong Kongers would abandon support for protesters as violence escalates, they are now starting to worry that, in fact, support for more extreme actions have basically shown signs of growing.
We shall await what happens next. Japan and South Korea, senior US military and defence officials have headed to the countries. What is their mission?
Yes, so we've got Mark Esper, the Defense Secretary, and General Mark Milley, who's the new chairman of the US Joint Chiefs of Staff. They're both in Seoul today after traveling through Japan this week, basically in a bid to shore up US alliances with a rising number of challenges in the region. So underlying a lot of concern is that North Korea will basically return to sort of more aggressive military provocations early next year. Going back to a speech in April, Kim Jong-un, the North Korean dictator, said he would be patient until the end of this year. And this was a statement widely interpreted as sort of setting a time limit for diplomatic breakthrough with Washington. But as the two sides have remained in deadlock and essentially failed to reconcile their differences, in recent weeks, North Korea's state media have carried a series of statements by top officials, basically echoing progress for the year end. They need to see progress. Otherwise, there is a very widely held view among experts that we're going to see an imminent sort of resumption of nuclear or potentially intercontinental ballistic missile tests. And people really worry that this any resumption of those serious weapons tests could basically put a lot of pressure on Trump, the US president, and we may see some sort of dangerous escalation cycle. And so as part of this effort to just ease the situation, Mark Esper, who landed in Seoul late last night, he said the Pentagon might be willing to alter US-South Korean joint military exercises on the Korean Peninsula, and that's a move that may be able to just help convince the North Korean dictator to sort of soften his stance and keep negotiations on track. That's an issue. The joint exercises is something that North Korea has long rallied against, and so there's a hope that these statements from Esper on this particular issue may be able to just ease tensions. Not sure if that will actually help, but we'll wait and see. And there's also, on a number of other issues, there's growing conflict between Japan and South Korea. And so very quickly, the South Korean court ruling late last year that awarded damages against Japanese companies for Japanese companies for using wartime forced labor back to World War II. The Japanese government reacted very badly to this court decision and has basically said that they will implement very tough export controls on Korea. Korea has responded by ditching an intelligence sharing pact. So Mark Milley, the top military advisor to Trump, he's also in town trying to tell reporters and tell South Korean officials that they need to resolve these differences. And he's warned that China and North Korea would ultimately benefit from any sort of further breakdown in the relationship between these two allies. All the while, Seoul and Washington themselves are also locked in tense talks. The US under Trump has been demanding that South Korea increases its payments for the 28,000 or so US troops based in South Korea. There's been an agreement for how these payments are made back to 1991, but Trump has expectations for a big increase on that. A new deal is needed by the end of the year. And really, this is being watched by not just people in South Korea and the US, but around the world, because Europe, Asia, there's countries in a lot of places that Trump has made similar broadsides against countries over there and their dependence on the US for defense. And so, again, the generals and the top officials are here just to try and ease concerns, to try and convince the South Koreans to pay a little bit more. But they are walking a very fine line, because they have to get a deal that their president likes while trying not to offend their counterparts any more than they have to.
It's the latest rage, isn't it, coming up with yet another reason to have a massive worldwide sales and get people to spend a whole lot of money, as if Christmas, Easter, Halloween, I don't know, birthdays, anniversaries weren't enough. And the latest iteration is China's Singles Day. Alibaba, of course, one of the main transaction platforms, was a ridiculous success, wasn't it, for many retailers?
Yeah, I mean, this is a funny day. It started, I think, years ago out of a Chinese university as a sort of protest by some students who were not in a relationship against Valentine's Day. But the numbers are quite eye-watering, really. Alibaba netted around $38 billion in sales from the day. So that's about one-fifth, I think, of New Zealand's GDP in just 24 hours. There was also an increase, interestingly, of about 25% from last year. And apparently, though, it wasn't enough for Jack Ma. The Alibaba founder said he had actually expected more. He blamed what he thought was a poor result, even though it was by, you know, a massive record. He blamed it on the weather being too hot, the day falling on a Monday. But really, it just goes to show just how amazing that online platform Alibaba is. I think they had something like $3 billion in just the first hour, so they just absolutely needed it in that day.
And what suckers we are when someone puts something on sale, in inverted commas. Thanks so much. Ed White of the Financial Times, based in Seoul, our Asia correspondent.